Hallelujah. Greetings, brethren, and a happy Sabbath to you all. Excuse me. Do you know why we keep the seventh day Sabbath holy? Is it because you believe Almighty God, or do you believe man? You see, the whole world has gone astray. The whole world has gone astray from obeying God. Notice what I said, from obeying God. Simply put, the world does not love Almighty God. I know that this is a strong statement, and I know that it may grab you a little and cause you to think and perhaps cause you to study. So let us look at the scriptures to back up what I'm saying. Turn with me first to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But you fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Skip down to chapter 11, verse 1. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Chapter 13. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. There's a few scriptures outlining our love for God. What is required of those who love God? Turn to the New Testament, to John. Chapter 14. Beginning in verse 15. Now, mind me, these are the words written in red. The very words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, if, and I place a big emphasis on if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Verse 21 says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So we've covered a few verses. Text that tells us by outlining what God is requiring of us. The question is, if we love him, do we really love him? If we love God, we obey him. And I think that is crystal clear. Let's go to 1 John. First John, chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. In order to prove to God that we love him, it is crystal clear that we must obey him. We must obey his commandments, his laws, his statutes, and observe his Sabbath. Genesis 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So right here, we understand that the days are counted from sunset to sunset. We're given a very elementary design of how God's days begin. The evening and the morning, the first day. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. From the very beginning, brethren, God set aside a day of rest, which God sanctified and made holy. Now I know that a lot of you have heard that all days are holy, and you could do well by picking one to observe. And you might can do that, but not if you want to obey God. Remember, to prove your love to God, you must obey him. You must follow the outline that God has set forth for us. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. See, we're reading from the Ten Commandments. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Almighty God blessed the Sabbath day, and Almighty God made it holy. Exodus 31. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths." Sabbaths, plural. "You must observe my Sabbaths." And we know by looking at Leviticus 23 that each Sabbath is outlined there. I won't go through that today because I want to focus on the Sabbath. But you can make note of it, as many of you already know where to find the holy days. But this is what it also says. "This will be a sign," a sign, a symbol, "between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death." The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested." We're given an instruction. We're given laws and commands that we must follow. But even more than that, it is a sign. Now think about that for a moment. That God has a sign between his people and him. And who can see that sign? The world. The world knows you make a difference. We've heard people talk about the Sabbath troubles and struggles that we have all had to endure. We've all had them, some way or another. People pick on you because you choose to obey God. But remember, this is a sign. This is a symbol that Almighty God has given us. That's between him and us. And that's precious. And we must follow that. And we must not be ashamed to speak boldly about it. Turn over just a few more chapters to chapter 35. Exodus 35, beginning in verse 1. Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it must be put to death." It is in the Ten Commandments. And God has commanded that we must keep it. Now, there are many scriptures throughout the whole Bible that deal with keeping God's Sabbath. I cannot go through them all today, but I will cover the ones that I think are pertinent to the message. There are many, many scriptures that deal with the day that we keep holy, but you cannot find one. Not one. Throughout all the pages of this Bible, that authorize you to keep the first day of the week? Did God make a mistake? Or did, from the very beginning, did God have a plan? And he outlined it. Everything that God does comes into play. He had a plan from the very beginning. He outlined 6 days that he created the heavens and the earth. And he created us in his own image. He asked that we observe what he observes. He made it holy. We didn't make it holy. Not a one of us. God made it holy. And he didn't just make it holy for the Israelites. He made it holy for everyone. It is the day of worship outlined in the pages of your Holy Bible. I did a study last night, and I got on the internet to search where you could find the beginning of Sunday observance. Because I know we've all been told many stories. But it happened, as one emperor of the Roman Empire made a creed. And the dates are not clear. Some say 325, some say 321. Council of Nicaea or the Council of Laodicea. But nevertheless, it shows that man came along, put himself in the authority of God, and changed the law. I asked the question in the beginning, will you obey God or will you obey man? You have to make a choice. And there is a lot riding on that choice. We see people wearing these bracelets, bumper stickers, and even necklaces. WWJD. What would Jesus do? We ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. After all, as Christians, we're followers of Jesus Christ. And we must do what Christ must do. We must do what Christ did. He is our example. It says in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Do we know what Jesus would do? Jesus went into the Sabbath, the synagogue on the Sabbath. The scripture says it was his custom. Is a custom that something that one does every now and then, or once in a while? Or is it something that one continues to do throughout time? In other words, as people know us in our communities, as our neighbors know us, as people on our jobs know us, they know that we keep the Sabbath day. They know that. I was pleased to know that recently I received my third background check. I work for federal law enforcement, and every so often they do a extensive background check. They check your supervisors, your neighbors, your credit, your patriotic status, and they go around interviewing people in your neighborhood, people on your job, people on your previous jobs. They go back 5, 10, 15 years. And when I finished my background investigation, something told me to request the results. It took them 2 years because they were backed up because of everything going on with Homeland Security. But I received it recently. So I began to go through it. And I noticed that they had interviewed 6 of my previous coworkers and supervisors. People who worked alongside of me and people who I was their supervisor and my supervisor. And it was amazing to me to see that each one of them said the same thing. The question was, what does Mr. Buchanan do in his spare time? Everyone said he is a very religious person who does a lot of religious activities in his time off. And they said also that I like to go to sporting events. You cannot think for one moment that the world does not watch what you do. I thought back, because it's been 8 years since I left that job, and I wondered, had I told anyone what I was doing? And I noticed that I didn't discuss my religion, the Sabbath and the holy days, much at work. We didn't have time for that. We were busy supervising and doing our job. But it was amazing that each one of them knew that. The scripture says that we just got through reading previously. It says, they will know that you love God if you obey God. That's the kind of example that we ought to be setting in the community. When I was a child growing up, my parents were in the faith before I was born. So this religion, this way of life, is the only thing that I have ever known. And I watched my parents, my father and my mother, get fired off several jobs. It would seem every year after we returned from the Feast of Tabernacles, they would have to look for another job. We must be willing to obey God, no matter what the cost. And I learned something from that. Because each time I was confronted with the Sabbath situation, I went to God in prayer and fasting, and I said, Lord, what do I do? Do I do like my parents? He said, yeah. Wait till they fire you. He never instructed me to quit. He always instructed me to labor on, to wait on God, because he wanted the example to be set. That even if I couldn't have every Sabbath off, I would be there each time I was permitted. And so I struggled through that, just like my wife did. At some point in my career, they finally realized that no matter what, I would keep the Sabbath. And they stopped messing with me. But it's only after we make a stand. It's only after we let it be known. It's hard to go inside a company and change things. That's God's job. God will fight our battles for us. We have to get on our knees and pray and wait. Oftentimes, as human beings, we get impatient. And I'm not just talking about the Sabbath when I say wait. Each one of us is dealing with something that we have asked God to intervene in. But we must be patient. For God is also building character. He's also leading us to what he might have for us to learn. Be patient. Wait on God. Wait on God. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 of the same chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees ask, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them, have you never read what David did when he was hungry and his companions were hungry? Excuse me, it says, Jesus answered them, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shivered. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand up in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to good, to do good, or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Why would they be furious that Jesus had just healed a man? I think the proper response would be hallelujah. Praise God. But they were furious. Jesus kept the Sabbath free from fear of man. And Jesus obeyed his Father's will. Jesus was not afraid of what man might say to him for healing on the Sabbath. He knew it was lawful. He knew that he came to set the example. He knew all of this. And he never let man stand in the way of what he had to do. And we shouldn't either. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I gave you the example of how I looked it up on the internet to see where the origin would be. And you can find it in the Encyclopedia Britannica or the Catholic Encyclopedia. They will discuss Sunday and the Sabbath and how it came to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Hold on to the good. You must prove the Sabbath for yourself. Children, I was once in your shoes, sitting there just like you are, coming to church with my mother and my father. At times, I did not understand everything, but I wanted to obey my parents. So I did what they did. I observed what they observed. But there came a time in my life when I had to know God for myself. And when I no longer could listen to what my parents had told me, I had to prove it for myself. God says, study to show yourself approved unto God. And the time will come when you will have to prove it to yourself. In proving it to yourself, it will be in your heart and it will be on your mind. And no one will be able to make you stray from that. And you will know that it is God's truth. And you will be able to stand boldly for God. Because it's not what someone told you. It's something that you took time to prove for yourself. Jesus kept the Sabbath day. The apostles kept the Sabbath day. Let's turn to Acts. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. I'm going to break into the sentence. It says, on the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak. Standing, Paul motioned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The Apostle Paul kept the Sabbath. The Israelites and the Gentiles, or the nations, kept the Sabbath. They were there together. So don't let someone tell you that's that old law that belongs to Israel. Is it really? Or is it the law that belongs to mankind? Remember, Jesus Christ said he is Lord of the Sabbath over all mankind, not to just Israel or the nations, but to all. In researching the Sabbath, you will find it mentioned 61 times in the New Testament. And it would take you and me forever to go over that all today. But I just need you to understand this. Almighty God made the Sabbath in the very beginning, when he rested and sanctified the seventh day. Its observance is part of the law, the commandments that our Savior Jesus Christ kept. The Sabbath as an example of what Jesus would do. The apostles continued to do so after his resurrection. And yet there remains a rest for those who keep it until Jesus Christ returns. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, beginning in verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, plural, Sabbaths, because it's talking about the seventh day Sabbath and the holy days, which are outlined in Leviticus. To the eunuch who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me. See, when you keep the Sabbath, you have made a choice. And that choice is to do what pleases God, not man. When you follow the deceit that man has put in this world by worshiping on another day, you do not do what pleases God. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial, and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all... there it is. All who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Do you see anyone excluded? Does this sound like the God of only Israel? No. The scripture is clear. All who keep the Sabbath. Verse 8 says, the sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. All who keep the Sabbath, all who make the choice to do what pleases God, all of them will he gather together. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you. I want to pause here for a moment. I want you to hold your places as we go over to John chapter 8. Because I know that every one of you who has done like I have done and who has talked to family, to friends, co-workers when they've asked about the Sabbath, you have been placed in a situation where they ask you this question. Well, aren't we serving the same God? Let's see what Jesus Christ has to say about that. John 8, chapter 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. How many of you have been believed when you spoke the truth about the Sabbath day? You haven't been believed, you've been laughed at. You've been ridiculed. Some to your face and some behind your back. I've experienced it as well, because I know. Some have even been fired. My wife didn't tell you, but she was told by one supervisor that she could never be a supervisor because of her religion. So she had to quit several jobs and ended up with the same company. And yet when she got under another supervisor, he did not make that discrimination. He promoted her anyway. When I was a young child, about 17 years old, I loved to play basketball. I grew up in the Worldwide Church of God, I played basketball in the YOU program. I played basketball at my high school. I played basketball in the City League. And there was an important tournament that came up. It came up when we were supposed to be observing one of God's holy feasts. And the head coach knew my position. So he sent the assistant coach to the house to sit down and talk to me and my mother. And she's sitting here. After services, you can ask her about it if you want to do so. And the coach said, "What it boils down to, son, is you're just going to have to choose between God and basketball." And I looked at Mom. And I looked at the coach. And I said, "You know what? That's an easy choice. I choose God. I choose God." And he told me, "You realize if you choose God, you will be kicked off this team." I said, "I realize that, but I'll take my chances with God." That's how much they ridicule, make fun of, and treat you when you make a stand for God. And I was bitter for it for a while. Bitter that a man would have the audacity to tell me to choose between God and a sport. Look at me now. I can't play basketball like I could when I was 17. It would have been a short-lived career. But now I still have God because I made the right choice. And I tell you, each and every one of you have the similar, if not same, choices to make. I don't advise anyone to quit their job. I advise them to wait on God because he can and he will deliver you. Sometimes we get impatient, but we can't do that. You have to pray and let God lead you. Let God guide you. If he tells you that you must quit your job, then he will provide you with another job. If he tells you to stay on that job, then he will see to it that you are taken care of on that job. It takes time. Remember, we're dealing with a lot of different people out there. The times and the age that we live in now, they see a lot of religious fanatics. That's what they call us. And they question our sincerity. And we, of all people, must not be afraid to show how sincere we are about God. And God will reward us for that. God will reward you for your struggle. Let's go back and finish what we were discussing in Matthew 24. I'm running close to time, so I need to finish up. But in Matthew 24, where we left off, verse 4 says, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." That's why it's important that each and every one of you prove what you believe. When you prove what you believe, no one can take that from you. Because as they're arguing back and forth with you, scriptures will come to mind. God will put those thoughts in your mind and he will confirm that you are doing the right thing. And hold fast. Stay firm. Allow God to work it out for you. Don't compromise. Hold your ground. "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me." Brethren, we are facing that now. The time is on the horizon. We can see it approaching. We can see that. Are you up to the challenge? Will you remain steadfast and hold on to the holy Sabbath? The Sabbath, the sign between you and God. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. See, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. I want you to write this next scripture down and keep it in your notes. This is a key that Jesus Christ intended for us to keep the Sabbath on up to his return. Verse 20 says, pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. Right there. All this is talking about signs of the end of the age. And yet Jesus Christ makes mention of his people. Remember, he told us in prior text that that's a sign between you and him. And here again, he's talking about that sign. That mark that makes us different, that allows us to know that we are God's children, that we are his people because we love him and we obey him. Verse 21, for there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. Just one more verse in this chapter. It says, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Jesus Christ's word has not passed away. The Sabbath has not passed away. It's still right there. It's still to be observed. It's still there for you and I. Now, finally, I promised that I would discuss the Sabbath rest that waits. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Let us be careful that none of us fall short. For we also have heard the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. I want to cover that for a moment. Turn back to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. Talking about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. 430 years to the day in bondage. And yet God delivered them. Why? So they could go out in freedom and keep his Sabbaths and obey him. Verse 10 says, "For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." We don't want to be like the children of Israel. I haven't seen the great miracles that God worked down in Israel, in Egypt, that they saw. But they saw the miracles and still refused to obey God. Brethren, we have faith. We have Jesus Christ. And we have the belief that he is going to bring about everything he has promised. And I don't want to see that wash away from us. Back to Hebrews 4. Finishing up verse 3. "And yet his work had been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Verse 6. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience." That's not what we want to do. We don't want to follow that example of disobedience. We want to be obedient to God. We want to show him that we love him by obeying him. Verse 7. "Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." Notice it didn't say for the Israelites. It said, there remains a rest for the people of God. All people who love and obey God. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Brethren, prove your love to God by obeying him. Obey his Sabbaths, his laws, and his commandments. May God speed the very return of Jesus Christ, so we may partake of all